The next LOS asks us to explain the derecognition of debt. When bonds mature, no gain or loss is recognized by the issuer. At maturity, any original discount or premium has been fully amortized. Thus, the book value of a bond liability and its face value are the same. The cash outflow to repay a bond is reported in the cash flow statement as a financing cash flow. A firm may choose to redeem bonds before maturity because interest rates have fallen, because the firm has generated surplus cash through operations, or because funds from the issuance of equity make it possible and desirable. When bonds are redeemed before maturity, a gain or loss is recognized by subtracting the redemption price from the book value of the bond liability at the reacquisition date. For example, consider a firm that reacquires $1 million face amount of bonds at 102% of par when the carrying value of the bond liability is $995,000. The firm will recognize a loss of $25,000, or the $995,000 carrying value minus the $1,020,000 redemption price. Had the carrying value been greater than the redemption price, the firm would have recognized a gain. Under U.S. GAAP, any remaining unamortized bond issuance costs must be written off and included in the gain or loss calculation. Writing off the cost of issuing the bond will reduce a gain or increase a loss. No write-off is necessary under IFRS because the issuance costs are already accounted for in the book value of the bond liability. Any gain or loss from redeeming debt is reported in the income statement, usually as a part of continuing operations, and additional information is disclosed separately. Redeeming debt is usually not a part of the firm's day-to-day operations. Thus, analysts often eliminate the gain or loss from the income statement for analysis and forecasting. When presenting the cash flow statement using the indirect method, any gain is subtracted from net income, and any loss is added to net income in calculating cash flow from operations. The redemption price is reported as an outflow from financing activities. Our next LOS requires us to describe the role of debt covenants in protecting creditors. Debt covenants are restrictions imposed by the lender on the borrower to protect the lender's position. Debt covenants can reduce default risk and thus reduce borrowing costs. The restrictions can be in the form of affirmative covenants or negative covenants. With affirmative covenants, the borrower promises to do certain things, such as make timely payments of principal and interest, maintain certain ratios, such as the current debt-to-equity and interest coverage ratios in accordance with specified levels, or maintain collateral, if any, in working order. With negative covenants, the borrower promises to refrain from certain activities that might adversely affect its ability to repay the outstanding debt, such as increasing dividends or repurchasing shares, issuing more debt, or engaging in mergers and acquisitions. The bondholders can demand immediate repayment of principal if the firm violates a covenant, which is referred to as technical default. Analyzing the covenants is a necessary component of the credit analysis of a bond. Bond covenants are typically discussed in the financial statement footnotes. Covenants protect bondholders from actions the firm may take that would harm the value of the bondholder's claims to the firm's assets and earnings. To the extent that covenants restrict, for example, the firm's ability to invest, take on additional debt, or pay dividends, analysis of covenants can be important when valuing the firm's equity, especially involving its growth prospects, as well as when analyzing and valuing its debt securities. The next LOS asks us to describe the financial statement presentation of and disclosures relating to debt. Firms will often report all of their outstanding long-term debt on a single line on the balance sheet. The portion that is due within the next year is reported as a current liability. The firm separately discloses more detail about its long-term debt in the footnotes. These disclosures are useful in determining the timing and amounts of future cash outflows. The footnote disclosure usually includes a discussion of the nature of the liabilities, maturity dates, stated and effective interest rates, call provisions and conversion privileges, restrictions imposed by creditors, assets pledged as security, and the amount of debt maturing in each of the next 5 years. A discussion of the firm's long-term debt is also found in the Management Discussion and Analysis section. This discussion is both quantitative, such as identifying obligations and commitments that are due in the future, and qualitative, such as discussing capital resource trends and material changes in the mix and cost of debt. The next part of this topic review concerns leases. We begin with an LOS that asks us to explain the motivations for leasing assets instead of purchasing them. A lease is a contractual arrangement whereby the lessor, the owner of the asset, allows the lessee to use the asset for a specified period of time in return for periodic payments. Leases are classified as either finance leases or operating leases. In the United States, a finance lease is known as a capital lease. A finance lease is, in substance, a purchase of an asset that is financed with debt. Accordingly, at the inception of the lease, the lessee will add equal amounts to both assets and liabilities on the balance sheet. Over the term of the lease, the lessee will recognize depreciation expense on the asset and interest expense on the liability. An operating lease is essentially a rental arrangement. No asset or liability is reported by the lessee, and the periodic lease payments are simply recognized as rental expense in the income statement. Leasing can have certain benefits. Less costly financing. Typically, a lease requires no initial down payment, thus the lessee conserves cash. Reduced risk of obsolescence. At the end of the lease, the asset can be returned to the lessor. Less restrictive provisions. Leases can provide more flexibility than other forms of financing because the lease agreement can be negotiated to better suit the needs of each party. Off-balance sheet financing. Entering into an operating lease does not result in a balance sheet liability, so reported leverage ratios are lower compared to borrowing the funds to purchase assets. Tax reporting advantages. In the United States, firms can create a synthetic lease, whereby the lease is treated as an ownership position for tax reporting. This allows the lessee to deduct depreciation expense and interest expense for tax purposes. For financial reporting, the lease is treated as a rental agreement and the lessee does not report the lease liability on the balance sheet.